Welcome to Sunday School today. Trust you've had a good week. And we're trusting God today for good services in His house. Always good to be in God's house, no matter when the opportunity arises. But we're glad to have you today and trusting God to help us today as we are instructed from the Word of God. I have nothing to say today except what God says. Okay? Because what I say won't amount to nothing. But if we'll take heed to what God says, why, I think we can all learn something today and we can grow. And that's why I'm here. I'm here to learn something, and I hope you are also today. As y'all know, this month is February Stewardship Month. I'll get it out in a minute. And we've been learning about relationships, how to build relationships. Started out how to build a relationship with God, and then how to build a relationship between husband and wives. And today we're talking about parents building relationships with children. Parents with children, relationships. Relationships are very important in our lives. We all, as long as we live on this earth, we're going to be confronted with people. And people of today, more than ever, different cultures from everywhere. And we need to learn how to relate to these people. And we see as God gives us instructions through His Word, the best tool to learn from is the Bible. Because if we take heed to what God says and His Word, why, we will be on the right track in having relationships with people like we ought to. Today, turn first of all to Ephesians chapter number 6. We'll be in Colossians a little bit too, but we'll start in Ephesians chapter number 6. Today, I said we're talking about parents building relationships with children. Parents building relationships with children. The generation that we live in, you know as well as I know, is a generation with problem children and problem parents. There's problems everywhere, it seems like. And the biggest cause of these problems, I feel like, in my life, is that people are not taking heed to God's authority. If we will read and take the instructions that God gives us as an individual and building a relationship with God, as a husband and a wife, building relationships with a family, and also even as parents, building relationships with their children, if we'll take heed to God's Word and read it and apply it in our lives will be a lot better than most of us are. I believe that with all my heart. Because God's Word is given to us to help us. It's given to us to instruct us and guide us in our lives as a Christian. Therefore, may the Lord help us today. Children and parents are to walk together according to God's authority. Not according to our authority, but according to God's authority. Now, the key to any relationship is communication. Communication. Communication is so important. I believe one of the big problems today in the world with people is the lack of communication. Now, when I say communication, I don't mean texting. I don't mean calling on the phone. That's not communication to me. That's staying in contact, okay, but that's not communication. Communication involves many things. First of all, communication involves listening. Listening to somebody. Have you ever seen this person talking to this person? And while this person is talking to this person begins talking to this person? You got mass confusion. Nobody's communicating. Nobody's listening. You know? This has already formed a conclusion how he's going to respond to this person, and they always start back talking to him. But communication is listening, first of all. Learning to listen. Listening to the person stops, okay? Listen them out. And then not only does communication involve listening, but it also involves knowing what to say. After we listen, knowing what to say is very, very important. Asking God, I'm listening to this person. Now I want you to give me what to say to this person whenever they finish talking, okay? And number three is how we say what we say. Now, all three of these are important. It's very important how I say to the person that I'm talking to, I'm listening to, is very important. And also what I say and the fact that they know I'm listening to somebody. You know as well as I know that whenever I begin to talk to somebody, I know whether they're listening to me or not. You watch their eyes. If they turn away from you, chances are they're not listening to you. But if they're paying attention, they're going to face you. They're going to face you, you see? So communication is very important. When we talk about children and parents walking together, talking together, communicating is so important today. Now, in Ephesians chapter number 6, we find here in the first three verses, Paul is exhorting, he's exhorting here children to obey their parents with a promise of a blessing if they will obey their parents. You know, obedience always precedes the blessing, doesn't it? Look at Noah. Noah was instructed by God to what? Build an ark for the saving of his people. Noah obeyed God. And because of Noah's obedience to God, God blessed Noah and saved his whole family. You see. Look at Abraham. When he was, God instructed him to take his son Isaac up on the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice. What did he do? He obeyed God, didn't he? And because he obeyed God, you know what happened when he got to the mountain? God provided a sacrifice. God blessed Abraham. The Bible is full of this thing about obedience precedes the blessing. Well, Paul is exhorting children here to obey their parents. If you obey your parents, you will be blessed. You will be blessed if you obey your parents. Also, Paul is also in verse number 4, he's also exhorting fathers here to show a character to their children that their children will want to obey them. And they can train them. They can train them. So as we see, Paul is giving instruction here for the believers, the parents, and also the children. I believe that Paul is in reference to believing children as well as believing parents. Christians, what I'm saying. Christian children and also Christian parents. God, we'll get to that a little later on, what Paul says here. But I want you to notice today, as we look at Ephesians chapter 6, the first four verses, here as we talk about parents building relationships with children. Parents building relationships with children. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the Word of God that you have given to us, Lord, to instruct us with our walk down here on this earth. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have the Word of God to help us and to show us what we are to do, how we're to live, how we're to relate one to another. Now, Father, we commit this time to you as we commit the word that we're going to read to you also, Lord. May it be to us what we need today. Lord, I know we all need to work on relationships. God, I just pray, Lord, now the word of God will find its place in our hearts and our lives as we take instruction from you today. God, and help us to be a better person than we are, a better parent, a better husband, a wife, better adult, teenager, young person, whoever we are today. I pray, God, you'd give us instructions now. And Lord, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. First of all, we're going to look at believing children are to obey. Look at verses 1. Ephesians chapter number 6, verses number 1. Children, what's the next word?
Amen.
Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now we see, first of all, believing children are to obey. Believing children are to obey. Now who's a child? Who's a child? A child is someone who is under the care of a parent. That's a child. They are children. If they're under the care of a parent, they are children. Now, notice he said, children are to obey. What does obey mean? Obey means you're supposed to reply with, comply with. You're supposed to do what they ask. obedience. When somebody says, ask you to do something, you're to reply. You're to comply with that request, whatever it may be. The children are to obey, their parents in the Lord. Now, we notice here, first of all, in verse number 1 and 2, children are to obey your parents. And number 2 says in verse 2, you to honor the father and the mother. So we have two duties here of children. Number 1 is to what? Obey the parents. Number 2 is to what? Honor the father and the mother. These are the duties of the children, that people are blessed to have in their lives. So we see they were to obey their parents. Now, what is the reason? Why should children obey their parents, and why should children honor their father and their mother? He gives us that reason here in these verses right here. We notice it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. That's why I believe that Paul is writing here to Christian children. Christian children and Christian adults, okay? We know that it says, in the Lord. In the Lord. A child that's not saved, he's not in the Lord, okay? Therefore, he's not don't know how to obey the Lord. He don't know the instructions of God, okay? So I believe here that Paul is writing to believing children, how they're to obey their parents. They're to obey their parents. Now, obey in the Lord. Notice, in the Lord. There is a limitation for children obeying their parents. It's in the Lord. It's in the Lord. No child is accountable for obeying their parents if it's against God and God's word. They're not to do that. A child, if a person is talking to their child and somehow asks them to take something that's not theirs, that's stealing. Of course, a child's not supposed to do that. A child is to obey in the Lord, Christian children he's talking about here. We see this. There is a limit to this. When a parent is not acting in the Lord, then the child is not responsible for obeying that parent, okay? But when a parent is in the Lord acting, well, the child is responsible to obey that parent, no matter what they may ask them to do. So we see here, in the Lord tells why the child is to obey his parents. In the Lord. This is the first law of the universe. Look at the stars. They obey God, don't they? The planets do. You know, obedience. This is the first law of the universe. It's obedience. The seasons we have. So we see that children are to obey their parents. Now, first of all, we see that obeying your parents is right. Look at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? It's right. It's right to obey your parents. It's right. That's what he said. Obeying your parents is right. Also, we see that obeying your parents is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. It's of the Lord. Also, we see that obeying your parents pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord when a child obeys their parents. Their parents. Also, we see that, again, this is the first great duty which God has placed upon children. Is to obey their parents. It's a duty, really. It's a duty for a child to obey their parents. This is the first one that he does, puts on children. That is to do what their parents ask them to do or instructs them to do. A child is to do that because this is of God. Now, what is duty? That which is required. That which is required. Now, we know first of all, that duty, when it comes to a child, is to obey their parents and to honor their mother and their father. Now, what is the duty of the parent in regards to the child? We see that the duty of the parent to the children is to counsel them, and also to reprove them, that is, to correct them as a parent. They're instructed to do this and guide them in their lives, you see. See, the duty of the parent and the duty of the child is very important in a Christian's life, in the life, in a family. If there is no accountability, if there's no responsibility placed on us, there's going to be chaos in a family. A family will not be a family. It'll be a free-for-all. I was walking down the street not too long ago, and I heard somebody talking. And I got closer by, and I saw it was a husband sitting on the back doorstep talking loud, and there was a wife standing in the back door talking loud, and they were letting one another know what's best. And I said to myself, you know, that's so sad that people are hollering like that and talking to one another like that. Probably they're not saved to begin with, no doubt about that. But I mean, you know, just this thing about duty. We all have responsibilities, and we all need to accept those responsibilities that God has placed upon us. As a husband, as a wife, as a child of God, or as a children in a home, we all have duties, we all have responsibilities. And may the Lord help us to realize this. See, duty makes good order in a family, makes good order in a family, brings a family together when we all accept our responsibilities as members of the family. It's the welfare of the children that depends upon the duty that they have, the duty they have. The child is not knowledgeable in making right decisions. The child knows a lot growing up. Yes, they do. They learn a lot. But they don't have the capacity to determine what's right and what's wrong, what's right and what's wrong in their life in an early child age. So we see that's why parents have children to guide them and direct them in their lives and to give them instruction so they know what's right and wrong. I'm so glad for the instructions that was given to me from my parents as I grew up, knowing nothing, but they taught me a lot of things that I learned in my life. That's the duty of a parent. You see, it's the duty of a child, first of all, to obey their parents, to honor their parents. It's very important. Parents, by age and also by experience, are qualified to direct and to guide children by their age and also by their experience. They are qualified to guide and direct a child. Now, the family as a unit is designed by God to be a method of leading a child to obey the Lord. It's primarily the family's responsibility to teach the child to obey the Lord. However, when a child is brought to Sunday school and to church, that obedience is enhanced by the teaching of the Word of God from their teachers as they are instructed from God's Word. See, it's a teamwork. It starts at home, and it comes to Sunday school, to church. The children grow up learning to obey their parents and to honor their father and their mother. Thank God for His Word that He's given us a plan, folks, that'll work if it's applied in our lives. As husbands and wives, as parents, as children, we know that God will do this. First of all, we see in verse 1, children, obey your parents. Why? For it is right. It's right for you to obey your parents. As Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, it's always right to do right. Always right to do right. And the Bible says it's right for children to obey their parents. Their parents. We also see that it's appointed by God as a duty. As children, it's our duty to obey our parents and to honor our parents. We also see children owe a debt of gratitude to their parents. Children owe a debt of gratitude to their parents. You ought to appreciate their parents by obeying them, by obeying them. They show that when they live a life of obedience to their children. We also see that it will be for the good of the children themselves and also the welfare of society. Can you imagine what it would be like today to live in a world where all children obey their parents and honor their parents? Can you imagine what kind of society we would have? I tell you what, it would be different than what it is now, wouldn't it? It really would, if children would do that. See, children need to do this. Now, there are two promises made to the children if they will obey their parents. We can look in verse number three. Why should you obey your parents? First of all, that it may be well with thee. That it may be well with thee. You will have a good life. Everything will be well with you if you obey your parents. You ever notice all of us have grown? But remember back in our early childhood, as long as we did what mama and daddy said and asked us to do, everything was well. But when we disobeyed God, there was trouble. There was trouble, wasn't there? I mean, there was conflict. And we had to suffer the consequences because of that, you see. But we see here that it may be well with the child, well with thee, it says in verse number 3. And notice him, thou mayest live long on the earth. Here's another promise. You have a long life if you obey your parents and honor your parents. My, what a promise. What a blessing it is for children. May God's people today, especially parents today, teach their children these truths from God's Word. And I feel like maybe their children might want to obey more than they do. But children don't get any instructions today from the Word of God. Most children don't. A lot of children don't. Therefore, we're so sad. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. So we see, first of all, that children are to what? Obey their parents. Children are to what else? Honor their father and their mother. Children's responsibility. Now, let's go over to the next side of the picture. Look at verse number 4. Verse number 4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Believing parents are not to provoke their children, but to nurture them in the Lord. To nurture them in the Lord. Now, what does the word provoke mean? It means to arouse, to wrath or anger. Get them upset. Believing fathers are not to upset their children. Arouse them. Okay? That's what the Bible says. I know when discipline comes, correction comes in our life as a child, it's not an enjoyable experience, is it? It's not. Whenever time comes for correction or punishment, discipline, whatever you want to call it, it's not a good experience in life. I've been there. I know what it is to be corrected, disciplined in my life. And it's not enjoyable. But we see here, fathers are not to arouse their children to anger, but not to provoke them, not to provoke their children. Now, how does that happen? How does that happen? First of all, we see sometimes in failing to accept the fact that things change. Things change. Young people in here today, has your mom and dad ever said to you, when I come up, my mom and dad did so and so? They've said that to you, have? Yes. That is one thing that will provoke a child more than anything else you can do. They don't care. Children don't care what happened to you when you were coming up as a child. You know that? As far as what your mom and dad did to you and correcting you. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. That provokes them, see. Because they live in a different time. They live in a different period of time than you did. Things change. Things change. I'm not saying always for the good, but things do change. Okay? Things do change whenever we see that. And we see here, this is what happened. Trying to conform a child to your childhood days will not work. Will not work. They don't want to hear that. Okay? So that provokes a child. What changes should and should not be allowed? Of course, there's a lot of changes that should not be allowed. Rebellion should not be allowed. That's for sure in a child. We also see that immorality should not be accepted in a child. There's a lot of things that don't change, okay? What I'm saying is sometimes the way you correct children changes. It's kind of like someone says, the message of the Word of God doesn't change, but the way you present it may change, okay? It may change, but the message will always be the same. And also, that can be applied to children. The way your parents corrected you may not be the same way you need to correct your children. But there also always needs to be correction. or maybe done in a different way. But we see this will provoke a child. Over-controlling a child will provoke a child also. When you have stern restrictions on a child to where they can't breathe hardly, unless you lamb blast them, this will provoke a child. And that sometimes even leads to child abuse. Child abuse. I don't believe in child abuse. But I do know there are situations where children are abused. They're literally abused by their parents. I've seen it, and I'm sure you have too. And that's over-controlling a child. Over-controlling a child. There's also under-controlling a child. That's when a child gets what they want. Gets what they want. A family has plenty, therefore they provide whatever the child wants. They just get it for them. They just get it for them. Now, why do they do that? Well, there are many reasons why parents do that. Sometimes it's to escape the responsibility of the child or with the child. They don't want the responsibility, so they just give the child what they want, you know, to ease their conscience. They give the child what they want. We also see they keep a child from interrupting a parent's time. I've heard of parents turning on the television, setting the children down at the television, and let literally the television be the babysitter for the parents. I'm sure you heard that too. See, they're neglecting their own responsibility as a parent when they do that, you see. We also see here to get a child out from under a parent's feet. Leave me alone. I got this to do, you see. This is so important. This is why parents pamper their children sometimes, is what I'm saying. Give them what they want. We also see to gain a social standing. So-and-so does it, so we're going to do it. You know? Children come home from school. Mom or dad, so-and-so has given their children, give some this or that. So therefore, you want to be with them, socialize, social standing, more or less, so to speak. Insecurity and lack of purpose in a family will cause people to pamper their children. Give them things that they shouldn't have. And then we find also another reason why the things that provoke a child is living an inconsistent life. Saying I'm this and acting like I'm not. Parents, you have a big responsibility. Christians, we have a big responsibility. The inconsistency in our life is going to, if you have children, will cause your children to provoke you. You're provoking them when you do that. Saying I'm a Christian and not living like a Christian, okay? Spending a lot of time watching television, spending a lot of time reading magazines, doing other things that we shouldn't do as a Christian. This will provoke a child. Provoke a child. You will. Can you imagine how many children are doing things today because their parents did it wrong? How many children today are doing things wrong because they saw their parents do it? And that's where it's led their children to where they are today. Inconsistency will cause a child, you will be provoking a child by your inconsistent life, the way you live. Seeing an inconsistent life in a parent can provoke children. It's very, very, very important here that we note this. So we see, first of all, that believing parents and children are to walk under God's authority. Fathers are not to provoke their children, but notice what they are to do. The last part of that verse says, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but what? Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Fathers are to bring their children up in the nurture and in admonition of the Lord. Now, what is he speaking about here? A parent is to bring their children up in the ways of the Lord. The ways of the Lord, the Word of God. Proverbs tells us, training a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. He will not depart from it. But we've got to train that child. A child has to be trained. A child has to be taught. The admonition of the Lord, that is the Word of God, were to nurture them, nurture the children, that is to, I'm a farm boy, cultivate them, so to speak, their minds, what they're thinking. Try to help them to think what's right by focusing them on right things to think about, okay? Used to cultivate the crops to get the weeds out. Well, sometimes our minds need to be cultivated to get the weeds out, wrong thinking out. You see, wrong things we're thinking about. Does there ever any time in your mind something wrong come into your mind? I think we all can say it does. Well, if we're, whatever we see is certainly going to put some things that should not be in our minds sometimes. So we need to, the admonition of the Lord, to nurture the Lord, nurture the children, that is to cultivate their minds, give them things to focus upon that are good. Paul says about think upon these things that are good, pure, honest, and all that, good report and all that. That's just what we should think about, you see. So it's very important to help a child to think right, to think right. The admonition talks about the counsel, talking about counseling a child, exhorting a child to do what is right, to do what is right. Now, what's the benefit? What's the benefit for bringing up a child in the Lord? What would it benefit? You, society, or the child? First of all, a child will learn to love if he's brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He'll learn to love because he'll know that God loves him and the people of God love him. He also know that a child will learn that God will help him. God will help that child. He'll learn that if he's raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He'll learn that because he sees it again in the life of his parents. In the life of his parents. So he can identify with. He'll learn hope and faith in God because he's been trained right. He's been nurtured in the Lord. He's been nurtured in the Lord. He'll learn the truths of life. He'll learn how to endure life, whatever he's confronted with, because he's, again, has instruction from God. He'll learn to trust God. He'll learn what peace is, that is, inner peace in his heart, his life, because if he's a child of God, he has that peace, and he'll know that peace by trusting God. So it's very important that we recognize the benefits of raising a child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Oh, I would today that some children had that opportunity, but some do not. Some do not. Notice verse number 3, it says, that it may be well with thee. That it may be well with thee. Thou mayest live long on earth. Thou mayest live long on earth. Children, obey your parents, that it may be well with you. You might live a long life on this earth. It's very important. Long life. Long life is regarded as a great blessing today, isn't it? People are living longer today than they ever have. Because of medicine, because of technology, whatever reason, people are living longer than ever. Well, a child that obeys their parents is promised to live a long life. Now, what kind of blessing is that? It gives you a great opportunity to prepare for eternity when you live a longer life. There's not too many people who are going to live to be 70, 80 years old and get saved at that age. You know that? Not too many people will, but some will. But you have a greater span to prepare for eternity, not just to be saved, but to do things for the Lord, to maybe receive crowns, rewards when you get to heaven. See, if you obey your parents, you live a longer life. It also enables a person to do more for the Lord. Enables a person to have more time to do more for the Lord as they live longer, you see, on this earth. So it's beneficial. It gives a longer opportunity to study God and His work and what He's doing and what He's doing in your life. It is not improper to desire a long life. It's not improper. And it's promised to children that will obey their parents. Children, if they will obey their parents. So we see that believing children are to obey their parents. They're to honor their parents. Also, fathers are to raise their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and to not to provoke their children as they'll raise them up in the Lord. Obedience to parents is to live a long life. A long life. Obedience to parents. Obedient children are saved from a lot of things in life. Sins and crimes and trouble. A child that will obey, most times will stay out of trouble. They will stay out of trouble. But a disobedient child, most times, is headed for trouble. They're headed for trouble. See, obedience to parents is connected with good habits. When a child obeys their parents, we find good habits in a child. We find it will make a child industrious, want to do things. When they obey their parents, they want to do something. You see? We also see it will lead them to restrain from their wild passions. It settles them down, seems like, they say. Also, it will lead him to self-control. A child that will obey their parents, it will lead him to self-control. He's more controllable himself. So it's very important. God will watch over those who are obedient to fathers and mothers. He will watch over children that are obedient to their parents. What a blessing we have. What a promise we have. Now, turn over to Colossians chapter 3 as we conclude here. As we summarize what we've been talking about so far this month. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to talk about the wife, first of all, in verse 18. Colossians 3, verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit to the Lord. That's the wife's responsibility. Now notice the husbands in verse 19. Husbands, what? Love your wives and be not bitter against them. Love your wives and be not bitter against them. That's the husband's duty. Now notice third, the children, verse 20. Children, what? Obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And then last, parental responsibility is in verse number 21. Fathers, what? Provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So we see here, Paul sums it up in Colossians, of the home responsibility for the parents, the husband and wife, and also for the parents, as our responsibility are to the Lord. The story was told of a college class that visited a slum area in their city. And as they were visiting that slum area, one of the students saw a child sitting down on the street there, just literally filthy, dirty. And the student said to the guy, says, why doesn't her mother clean her up? Why doesn't her mother clean her up? And the guy said, that girl's mother loves her. That girl's mother probably loves her, but she doesn't hate dirt. She doesn't hate dirt. She says, until hate for dirt and love for that child is in a person, that child will stay the same way they are. And I believe that. I believe that. Likewise, we can apply that to our lives as Christians. As Christians, until hate for sin and love for sinners gets into us as a person, we will do little about the condition of the lost. About the condition of the lost. See, something has to move within us to help us to be what we ought to be. May the Lord help us today as husband and wife. First of all, as a child of God, our relationship with Him, our relationship with our husband and wife, and then our relationship with our family. God's given us instruction, people. What are we going to do with it? Is it just here to be contained in a book? To lay on a counter? No, it's not. It's for us to pick it up and to read it and apply it in our lives. We have a big responsibility before God, before one another as husband and wife. And also, if you have family, you have a big responsibility. But God's given you a plan that'll work if we'll work the plan. I believe that. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this time. Thank you for these that are here. We thank you, dear God, for the parents that we have in this church and for the children. God, we pray for them that you will bless them and help them daily, Lord, as they walk together with you and for you. God, give them instruction. Give them guidance. Help us, dear God, as your children, to labor together, Lord, to guide each one of us, that we might grow up in the nurturing and admonition of the Lord ourselves, and teach children to do that also. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for this time now, as we've been looking at relationships. And God, I pray, God, that you would enhance our relationships as individuals and as families and also as a church. God, as we grow together. Thank you now. Be with the next hour of service. Be with our pastor. God, give him liberty. Give him power to speak what you've laid upon him to share with us today. God, give us receptive hearts and minds. And Lord, not only just to hear and listen, but Lord, to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.